What is a kick? It is true that
roller skating
provides an ecstatic experience. It gives you an incredibly pleasant experience. But this pleasure is not the pleasure that you get from a bottle of beer, or that you get from watching even a good television show. The pleasure you get from
roller skating
is being tuned in. You're turned on to your own nervous system. You're turned on to your own body. You're turned on to the incredible wisdom which lies inside every cell in your body. It's the ecstasy.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good. So another episode of Jockin Podcast. Thank you for listening as always. Coming to you from Biripi and Worimi country. And Sugu is coming from
Gadigal land of the Eora Nation.
And we're happy to be here again. If you like the podcast, please subscribe and review us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit sad that summer seems to officially have come to an end in Australia. I'm feeling the shorter days already, but, you know, can't complain too much. How about you?
Yeah, feeling the changes of the seasons too, but it felt like a really long summer in a weird way. Like, I love summer and it's felt really, really long, which is awesome. I feel like usually it just slips away from me, whereas this time I've like really gotten to enjoy the entirety of the summer. I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like I also enjoyed the entirety of it, but it seemed to end like really quick. I don't know. The mornings have got a bit cold and the sunrise is really late now. And I think because I wake up so early, I'm like feeling this extra dark time in the morning where I'm like adjusting. Let's just say I'm adjusting.
I'm the same. I'm waking up really early now for my new job and it's dark, fully dark when I get in the car still. So I'm kind of looking forward for the change of the time because I think, will that give us some more sunlight in the morning? I think it will end the day earlier, but
Yeah, daylight savings will end and we will get a little bit more of a normal day again, which will be cool. So I feel like there's a lot kind of coming up on the roller skating calendar, though, as we move through the year. There seems to be like a lot of events popping up, which is cool. Maybe not as many in Australia, but a lot around the world.
I guess most of the rest of the world is moving into the summer and the better weather, and that's when all the cool events start happening all around the globe, whereas we'll be cold and sad in Australia. So, yeah, who's going where? You're going places.
I am going, well, I'm going to one place specifically, but I am excited about that. It's not until September, but I know how quickly time moves these days, so it will be upon us in no time at all. So I'm going to Milan for Milano Quad Fest, which will be really cool. Pretty excited about that.
Tell me a little bit about it because I've actually not been very active in the social stratosphere. So I'm not really sure what it's all about. I saw Skits is going to be one of the coaches.
Yes, yeah, so I've got a lot of information still to come out about it, but basically it's a three-day event in Milan that I'm organizing with Caro from Hell and Quads, Irene from Coven Roller Skate, and Marta from Dog Days Magazine. And the first night is like an open skate night with like a video premiere at a bar at the venue, which would be really cool, I think. And yeah, it's basically just anyone can come and have a skate and see the videos. Hopefully we'll have a lot of people premiering videos, which would be awesome. And then the next day there is coaching. We've announced two coaches so far, which was Emerald, Skits Tits, and Kenneth Ragnarol. And there's a couple more coaches to be announced. Actually, they'll be announced by the time this comes out. So the other two, Ard and Sylvia, which is cool.
Awesome. Oh, my God. First of all, dream team organizing, like, wow. And dream team lineup of coaches, wow.
Yeah, we're trying pretty hard to make it exceptional. And then there's a comp for like an open comp that anyone going to the event can enter, just like a jam style, like intermediate level comp, which will be fun. And then the day ends with an invitational comp. And we already have like 30 skaters confirmed from like all over the world. So it's going to be pretty wild.
Wow. That is cool.
Yeah, it got a lot bigger faster than I expected. Like I thought we would invite all these competitors and they'd be like, well, actually it's in Italy. We're not going to go. But like a lot of big names have said yes. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Wow. So cool. I remember back in the day, flights from Spain to Milan were like really, really cheap. I wonder if it's still the case that like flights around Europe into Milan are cheap.
Yeah.
Was that like a strategic move from?
Well, I think.
The Europeans?
I think Milan does have a pretty big airport hub, which is cool. But the main driver for the location was Irene from Coven has organized a few events before in Italy. And she just thought that Milan would be, you know, a good, accessible, big enough city to host a large event. And then I guess like we just discuss that, you know, obviously Barcelona already has something really big going on with Skate Love. And, you know, we just were talking about other places it could be. And it just, I don't know, it seemed like a good spot. And for me, oh my God, having an indoor good skate park as the venue was just such a big sell after organizing events that have been threatened by weather. So yeah, that was a big plus for me.
Wow. So cool. Congratulations to all the organizers.
Well, hopefully we got to get it off the ground first, but I'm sure it'll be fun. I mean, tickets go on sale on the 20th of April. And it's like basically a day ticket for the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, we're just having like a big meetup outdoors. So anyone can come to that. And hopefully, yeah, ticket sales will be good on the 20th when they go on sale. Anyone from around the world can come. Obviously, it's a big ask, but I feel like people travel more for trips these days. So maybe if you're keen, yeah, have a look at flight. See.
And what's the... Is there going to be coaching for all levels?
Well, basically the coaching is going to have a format, which I hadn't heard of before, but Caro and Irene both had a bit of experience with, where basically the park's broken into sections and there's a coach in each section that stays there, but the skaters can move to any of the sections at any time that they want to. So, for example, we might have like Sylvia coaching in bowl. And you might like go learn from Sylvia for like half an hour and then move on to somewhere else if you want to. So we were just kind of trying to get away from the standard coaching structure, because I think people sometimes get a little bit trapped in a class where they're not like really vibing with what's going on. So yeah, it's a bit more flow.
Yeah.
In the
Goldie Grind back in the day was a bit like that.
It was, but we didn't keep the coaches anywhere. We just kind of let everyone go everywhere. So I guess I think the plus side with this model is that like if you know what you want to learn from that person in that spot, you can maybe get the focus time. Whereas if everyone's moving, maybe it's a little bit more chaotic, but we'll see how it goes. I think it should be good.
Awesome. That sounds very, very good. I am jealous already that I know I'm not going to be there, and big FOMO already.
Well, who knows what the year will bring. We'll see what happens. Hey?
That's true. That's true. I'll check. Maybe I find a $20 flight to Milan.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But anyway, moving on, we have a pretty exciting guest today.
We do. Yeah. Shove has been in my list for a long time.
Yeah. And finally, we managed to line it up to have a chat with her and hear about what's been going on in her life. So, yeah, do you reckon we should give her a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hello? Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm a little frazzled. I came straight from work. I was like on work meetings and then I was like, I gotta go.
That's okay. No problem. We know you're a very, very busy person. Nice to see you. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm hiding in my bathroom because Rebel is a very loud speaker and she's teaching a class in the living room. And I was like, I can hear her perfectly. So I'm going to lock the bathroom.
I think a lot of people definitely know who you are. I'm feeling a bit starstruck, but can you introduce yourself for the listeners?
Sure. My real name is Marilyn Scott. That's probably the first time I ever put that on the internet, but it's New Beginnings. Yeah. But everyone knows me as Shove or Courtney Shove.
Yes, that's how I know you. But do you like to be referred to as Marilyn? What do you prefer?
For Shove, mostly, but I used to always feel like I kept this, like, it was this huge, mysterious thing. And now I'm, like, finding parts of myself outside of just roller skating. So now I'm like, oh, I don't mind if people know me as Marilyn, because there's, like, this overlap of people that didn't skate, and we were friends, and then I started skating, so then they did, and they still call me Marilyn rather than Shove. And it's, like, it used to be awkward. Don't use my legal name. Now I don't mind.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sugu has a real name as well. Like, a lot of people from Derby days still call me Slam, and then, like, it's not a big stretch to get to Sam, but they're always like, what, your real name is Sam? And, like, so I think it's kind of cool to have both out there.
Yeah, you get to be like a superhero when you're like by one name, but then it gets real confusing sometimes.
Is Shove your derby name? Was it originally a derby name, or how did it come about?
Originally a derby name. As soon as I signed up with Derby, they were like, choose your name fast or else we're going to call you. Everyone's going to call you by your real name because no one's going to take the time to remember a different name. And I was like, oh my gosh. So, like, the first day after, like, I did orientation, first practice, and I was like, I got to get this name. And I was so confused. I was like, all right, what am I into? What's a play on words? And I'm in love with grunge music and whole Courtney Love. So I was like, well, Courtney Love, what? How is that a pun? And I was like, Shove. So I was like, Courtney Shove. There, I got it. And I choose the number 94. It was the year that Kurt Cobain died.
It's a great name. Yeah.
It is a great name for Derby and beyond.
Yeah.
Is that how you came to roller skating originally, through Derby, or how did that happen?
Yeah. As a kid, I roller skated and then I rollerbladed, and that was like my transportation. And then I got a skateboard the first time I worked a job under the table. I was like, I'm going to build my own skateboard. My dad took me to the skate shop. And so I knew all the, like, how to build my own board and, like, some of the terminology, which rolled over to roller skating later. But I didn't really roller skate at all. And then I was 30 years old and a friend was like, hey, I went to a roller derby orientation, but I'm afraid to join alone. You should come check it out. And I was like, okay, I've always wanted to do that, but I never had the money or the time or the health insurance. It was just never, the cards were never really, like, laid out straight. So I felt like this is the perfect timing. So I went with her and I fell in love right away. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, we're going to join. Let's go buy skates. And we just bought skates right away at Pigeons, which was the Moxie shop back then, and, like, became obsessed with it. But yeah, my whole life kind of changed because of it, obviously.
Yeah. Can do that.
Yeah. I was, like, in a really bad relationship. While I was in Derby, I became engaged to this person, and he was really, really horrible. Didn't know at the time. I don't think I realized how bad it got. He was very emotionally, physically abusing me. And it was just like, I became like a shell of the person I used to be. So, like, the shell you see now is, like, never this person. I was very beaten down, insecure, struggling with, like, eating disorders still, and battling, like, all kind of addiction and all these things. And I always, like, tell people, like, roller skating was, like, my first step to, like, finding my way back to myself, because it was the first time I stood up and told him no, because he, when I told him I wanted to do roller derby, he was like, oh, you just want to be one of those slutty girls skating in a circle in short shorts, showing your ass to the whole world and all this stuff. And I was like, no, like, I'm going to do this. Like, I want to do this. And like, I was like scared, like, oh my God, am I going to get like in trouble for saying this? But I didn't care because I wanted it that badly. Mm-hmm. And like, I stood up to him so confidently and he was like, okay, which is like, sucks to be like, well, he gave me permission. So I was like, I did it. But I think it kind of like was the first time I found my voice. And then like, I got stronger and stronger by being in a community with mostly women and like seeing myself in them and learning how to like love myself and realizing how strong I really am, not just physically in derby, but mentally. It kind of helped me get out of that relationship and find Rebel and all that. And now I'm here.
And start wearing shorts.
Well, actually, the day that we broke up, it was Rebel's first bout. And it was like a championship that was happening. So it was like a bunch of different games happening. And I guess she had asked one of my friends, like, oh, is Chef coming? And they were like, oh, you didn't see on Facebook? Like, her and her fiance broke up. So I don't think so. And then I showed up later. I rolled. Like fishnets, like my shortest cutoff shorts, a panty, a leather jacket, full beat makeup.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm single and I'm here.
That is awesome. So probably everyone knows this, but in case some of the listeners are not up with who is who in roller skating, do you want to tell people who Rebel is and like how, I guess, you found your partner in skating?
Yeah. So my partner is Rebel, or better known as Queer Girl Straight Skates, who found her fame in YouTube. So I was always like, Instagram just kind of like took off with me. And then one day she started doing it was called Keeping It Fresh Meat. And it was a roller derby YouTube channel. And we started off that way. And it was all about how to teach people how to play derby. And we would interview derby people. And we're like, I don't know. Like, this isn't really working out. Right? So then we revamped as Queer Girl Straight Skates. And we're like, it's just all things roller skate, not just like one type of skating. And the pandemic, it just really took off. And we found like a need for it. So, yeah.
And you're married now. You guys married recently-ish?
So we're engaged. We're getting married October 12th this year.
Okay. I swear I saw like pictures of you two like dressed like you were getting married, but you're like in costumes all the time. So maybe I was like deceived by it.
I told her, I was like, stop posting things and making it sound like we got married. And people are always saying, congratulations, you're confusing. She's all like, oh, it does look like we got married. And I'm like, yeah, you're in a white dress.
Yep. Totally fooled me.
Oh, well, I mean, you can get married as many times as you want, I think. So, like, you know, have a pretend wedding and then a real wedding. Who cares? It's the internet. You can totally do
that. Oh, my gosh. No, yeah. But it's what she actually, when we were in Derby, at one point, she asked if she could coordinate my wedding. That was with someone else. So we always talk about that. Like, remember when you were going to have my wedding?
Now you're getting married. Wow. Full circle. That's And so, Rev is a wedding planner. Is that a thing? So you're going to have an amazing wedding?
Yes, because she's been a wedding planner, coordinator. I've, like, gone with her to coordinate a friend's wedding. So she's, like, already her wedding binder is so huge that she had to get a second one because she's like, oh, I can do it all myself. I know what the ripoff is. I know where the deals are. Like, it's a thing. I feel like I'm the stereotypical, like, I'm the groom because I just have, like, one little notebook and I just scribble on it and I'm just like, yeah, that.
Damn, I feel like this is going to be, like, the party of the year, though.
Oh, it's going to be fun. We actually found a property in Joshua Tree, which is the high desert out here, and the owners are queer and roller skaters. So, perfect. They're like, you can roller skate in the hall. That's where we practice. And I was like, this is great.
So roller skating is like such a big part of your life now, to the point that you were working in the skate industry recently too, and you are not doing it anymore now. Like, can you talk us through that? Like, how's that experience been? Yeah.
Oh my God. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. Coming out of it, like, now I know, like, I don't think I would ever want to work in a field that, like, is also, like, such a huge part of my life, because then you don't really break free between work and fun. It's just, like, all the time. And I think it just really kind of, like, sucked the life out of some parts of it, just multiple aspects. I'd say at first, I think especially when you're a beginner skater, you really idolize people and you look up to people and you want to be just like them, or you see a brand and you like hold it up so high and like you think like the world of it. So it's like, what do you want to do? Well, I want to work in a skate shop. I want to be in the skate industry. Like, it looks so cool. It looks so fun. And then you forget that, like, it's still a job. No, like, job is necessarily perfect. Like, jobs are going to have the highs and lows. And you should also never idolize anyone or anything, because we're all just doing the best we can. Like, we're all just people at the end of the day. And I know that so much better now than I think when I would like to say I wasn't naive at 30, but I was still like, oh, like, you know, just like, you really like, I think it's healthy to look up to people, but like to also like recognize that like, we're all human and we all make mistakes and no one's perfect. And I think, like most people still are, I always was just like, oh my God, Moxie, like one day I want to be on the Moxie skate team. Like, but that'll never happen, because like, I don't like do park skating and all this crazy stuff. But like living in Long Beach, where you see them all and you talk to them all, and we used to, me and Rebel would joke, like, we're the Moxie M team. Like, we're just low on the, like, we know everyone on the Moxie team, but we'll never be a part of it. I used to show, like, yeah, one day I'll work at Pigeons and it'll be like a fun, like, little job that I work on weekends, and then I have my adult job on the week. And it was just like fun to dream about. And eventually I got on the Moxie skate team, and that was like right before the pandemic. And then the team got dispersed shortly after that. And then I was furloughed from managing a coffee shop. So then I was unemployed, unsponsored, and just on YouTube, like with Rebel, I mean, like, I guess I'm just working off of government unemployment and doing YouTube about how to roller skate. That's how I'm spending my days. And but it was scary. So I was talking to Kiana about it, Kiana Ioana, and Kiana was just like, oh, well, I started working at Moxie, like, maybe I can talk to Estro. And I was like, okay. So I started working there, doing order processing, and I really liked like talking to all the skaters that were hired at the time, like, because they were from all over the place. And it was my first time working remote, and I was like, this is so cool. And eventually worked my way into the warehouse and then all the way to director of merchandise. But in that time, especially joining roller skating during a pandemic, the call outs were happening, and like, it was so strongly and like, it got like to a point where I remember like me and everyone else that was Black that worked for Moxie was told we weren't Black anymore because we worked for Moxie. Like, weird things that were like psychological warfare. Like, this shouldn't, like, this is a side of the skate community that was like really like quick to judge, quick to jump on bandwagons. Like, it was like, we all know how 2020 was. It was like through 2021, like, it was really hard to like communicate to skaters just through internet, because they didn't really see you. Like, when you go to a skate park or derby bouts or a rollout, you get to see people for who they really are and their character. But then it was like just the internet. So
I feel like there's still like a lot of that now, though. I don't know. I mean, it depends. People definitely have a lot more personal connections because we came out of lockdown, but something happened to people on the internet during COVID that was not good. And then it just kind of, I don't, I don't know if you feel the same way, but it just seems to have continued to build this momentum. And I know you're not working in the industry right now, but I think from working in the industry, you see a really ugly side of that, which can be hard. Like, you think you've got your dream job, but then you've got to deal with all this shit that, like, you're like, this is not my job. And then, you know.
Yeah, and I would like roll up to the skate park. And then people would be like, oh, the Moxie girls are here. Like, and I'd be like, it'd be like me and Evelyn and Kayla, or like me and Cindy. And I'd be like, we're just here to skate. Like, and it's like, whatever, you get like attached to whatever brand you work for. And the same thing, or even just skate shop. It's like the other get to see you as like, oh, you're part of that, instead of being like yourself. And you're like, I'm just an employee. Like, don't take it out on me. But I definitely learned a lot.
People can be so mean for no reason and just try to bring something down that hasn't even affected them. Like, they're like trying to gatekeep the scene, really, in behind the premises that they're trying to like keep the community the way it should be. And it's like, well, are you, or are you just trying to gatekeep and control other people's actions? Like, what are... Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, and you're so right, though. Like, it really does still happen. And I feel like, I don't know how we fix that. It's like one of the big hurdles I feel like in the skate community we need to solve is like, people just talking to each other. Like, I had like a phone call with Nick the Medic yesterday, and we hadn't talked for a while. And it was like for over an hour we were on the phone, just because we found out that my rollout is going to be the same date as like him and Pigeon's clinic. And I was like, I feel like a dick because I didn't know. And he was like, I'm not going to lie, I was upset too. But like, I realized I should just talk to you. And I'm like, and we worked it out. And now we know how to work together. And we were talking about some of the same stuff. It's like, it's so hard because you just see something, you get angry, and then like someone else adds to it, but you don't like go straight to that person and treat them like another human and like find out the root of the issue and then grow from it. And we don't really do that as a community anymore.
Yeah, I got to say, when I saw that you had stopped working at Moxie, I think you made a bit of a post, and I was like looking at some of the comments, because I was going to comment, like, because we have a brand too, and I know how hard like this work can be sometimes. So I really like felt with what you were saying, but I started reading the comments and I didn't end up commenting because I was like, damn, she's already dealing with enough. And there was people that was like, it mocks in the enemy now. What do we do? And you said, I think you were like, no, like, we're not canceling anyone right now. This is just my life. Like, we're not, no one is the enemy. And I think you said that. And I was like, thank goodness, like, you said that. Because I think if influential people kind of like rein it in instead of throwing fuel on the fire, surely that has to be good, I think.
If you don't like it, don't buy it. You don't have to like have to try to drag it down underwater to drown it. Just don't buy it.
Exactly. And I feel like everything's supposed to be conversation, not a like, oh, well, they're cut off now. And then even in the end, the other side of this is like when something does happen and the skate community kind of like we get that fire under us and then we want to change it for the better, we forget about it a month later and then things just go back to work. And then only the people that were still like shaking like a little wet chihuahua, like traumatized, and then the rest of the community is just like la la la.
Yeah,
it's so real. Like, for me, it was just like not a good workplace for me to be in. And then like there was just like, I knew I deserved better. And I also know that I should have like quit way before layoffs. Like, I remember the whole year being like, oh, I'm going to probably get laid off this year. How many people are going to get laid off? Because every year more and more people got laid off because the skate industry, I don't have to tell you, like, it's not what it was. So when you have people had to order by the thousands and then ahead of time, and then all of a sudden people stop buying them, like, you still have to pay for that product. So you can't afford to keep the people anymore. So I got turned into a contracted person for a while, but my heart just wasn't in it anymore. And I was like, I need more money and benefits and everything. So now I have a boring adult job, but it is remote and I get to work from home. So
there's that.
Well, that's cool.
You get to go skating and not be like, this is part of my job.
Exactly. And I'm like, I've been in this weird like hiatus where like I finally put my skates on again recently. And I was like, okay, I'm finding my way back into it. I want to just like skate for fun, not skate for content, not skate for work. Like I want it to be something I want to do. And I'm starting to figure all that out. So I've been like started my own vegetable garden. I've been painting the house and doing like a lot of like landscaping and like art and finding my way to like other things that weren't just skating to remind myself that I'm not just like Courtney Shove the skater, that I'm like, there's so many other things about me that make me the human I am.
You are Marilyn Scott the gardener as well.
And the painter.
So relatable. And I know that probably a lot of people who listen to the podcast are not in this position, but then like a lot of skaters who are over 30, maybe you've been around for a while, have had jobs in the industry or like, you know, have just had like a lot of time in skating, are going through the same thing, like finding other hobbies, like trying to find balance. You know, we talked last episode with Crooks how I became a bird watcher. Like Sugu now has like a totally different job in a different industry. So it is really relatable. And it's like kind of nice to know that we're all doing it on our own timelines, but like together in a sense.
Yes. Yes.
So I guess you were talking a little bit about how, you know, there was so much stock in the warehouse and then, you know, sales weren't what they were in the industry. And I feel like the general roller skater probably doesn't know that stuff or doesn't think about it. Is there anything else you learned from working behind the scenes in the industry that, you know, people might benefit from knowing?
So many things. The manufacturer end, like understanding like if I wasn't working for Moxie when like the whole everyone waiting for 6 months for their skates and like everything like in a lot of extreme sports is happening, I probably would have also been like, yeah, that's wrong. Give the people their money back. And then you think, oh, Rydell makes Moxie, but Rydell also makes Antic and how many of their own models, and they're fulfilling all those orders and making all those skates, and not just like those are all made in America. So it's like you have all these other things and you're like, oh, like of course they're waiting that long. It's not like Amazon, it's not a bunch of machines making these skates. So that was one thing, like figuring out like how all the testing that goes in the products, how long it takes, the quality of skates, like far greater than I thought. So that was like really interesting and cool to see like the back end of where the skates come from the beginning to the end. Like I even got to test some of the products before they came out and like take notes and then them switch them out and improve it, which I thought was really cool. Like knowing that like skate brands, that they're listening to skaters and really seeing what they want. So I was like, oh, that is cool that a lot of thought goes into it. And it's not just like, just throw a piece of crap out there. Hopefully the brands that are still around, most of them are making really good products. Another thing I found interesting is like realizing that sponsorships, like a lot of people want to be sponsored so bad. But then when you're on the back end, I would say that you realize that at the end of the day, being sponsored is really just marketing for a brand, which is cool. And some brands definitely do better than other ones. Like you might get a percentage of skates. You might get a percent more collabs. You might have your name attached to the brand more. But then you have other ones that might want you to like post a lot of content and tag them and do photo shoots for free. And basically the only trade-off is free pair of skates for the year. And maybe if you enter a competition, then they'll cover a certain amount. But then like, that's not really the exchange. But then you also have to keep in mind that the roller skate industry doesn't have money like skateboarding. So they can't be like, here's tons of dollars, you're repping our brand. It's going to be like, here's a box of random brand merch and like a free pair of skates. That's what you get. But I think like we need to be clear with skaters that like you're breaking your bones literally in the street because you want to be sponsored and seen so bad, like, and be like, get that like that dream sponsorship, but like really figure out what that sponsorship is. Like maybe talk to someone you know that's sponsored by the brand that you have your eye on, and then like be like, hey, for real, what's going on there? And then find out if it's worth it or just being independent. Because once you're sponsored, you also kind of like, now you can't wear anything else. You can't do anything else. And that kind of sucks. So, and I think skaters aren't like that. And it's there's so much more that goes into it. Like you might, like if you don't have money to buy your own skates, 100%, and you really like skate hard, yeah, get the sponsorship. It's worth it. But like if you can kind of afford to get your own skates, you're going to end up doing more work than what it's worth, really. And I think that was like a big takeaway from working in the industry.
And I think that's so true. And for a while, you know, when skating was booming over COVID in those years, I think brands had a little bit more money to like inject back into skaters. But then when we saw sales drop so rapidly, you know, brands didn't have the money anymore, but they had so many more skaters wanting to be sponsored. And then, you know, so we have gone through a really weird time for supporting people. And I think we're now seeing bigger name people who have been sponsored for many years going, you know what, I don't really want sponsors anymore. And like, I wonder what that's going to do. Like, I think we've seen recently Ragnarol, who has a pro skate for Kaya, has been testing and reviewing some Chuff skates, and I think intends to review other brands as well, and is like, you know, finding now his own new niche with a bit more freedom maybe than he's had before. And like, he could be sponsored by literally any brand, I think. I mean, he's so good. If he rolled in the door of any brand, I'd be like, please. But, you know, you got to look at why I think these kinds of people are now not doing that anymore. And maybe that would trickle down to younger skaters and like reposition what sponsorship means, I hope.
Like I know this is going to be very controversial to say, and this is going to make people really mad. and I know like the people are getting pissed off about this statement. But the forbidden word in the skate community right now, phantom. Phantom, that the amount of like hate, like people were getting like the death threats, like freaking out from an article, like, right? Anyway, it went way too far where I was just like, okay, like, yeah, be mad you don't like it, but I was like, should you be threatening to beat people up at the skate park because of it? No. But if we're like more like, I'm going to work on my craft when it comes to like filming, editing, skating, whatever part it is, and then creating those products and getting sponsorships to give money for that and then showing it, you'd probably benefit more than just trying to be committed to one brand. Because then you could get wheels from this brand and skates from this brand and whatever it is, and build kind of your own package for what you really want.
Totally.
I feel like that's another way to look at it to make it work. So you're not just committed to one thing, but there's different ways, all that just doesn't really say, there's different ways to like be out there skating, promoting yourself, and also getting paid and getting product than just like tying yourself to a yearly contract or whatever it might be with one brand.
Yeah. And do you think, is what you're saying about the fandom thing, that it's like an avenue to be seen? Is that kind of what you're like saying?
Yeah. So like, you don't have to be like not necessarily like even saying with Phantom, but just like how they started doing media, like with Ghoulie and like making her own edits. We all know like that's one of the first people we saw huge edits with, but now a lot of people are making edits. Like for me, I always watched Making Gravy and Street Fighter.
So that was only
made everyone watch them. I'm like, and I would always be like, but have you heard of Making Gravy? And people are like, what? What's that? And I'd be like, okay. Now more people know about it, but like anytime someone's a Street Fighter, I'm like, well, I got one. We got to see what they're doing. But from there to now, it's like so many people making edits, and it's great. And then I feel like people are going to get even better at editing and everything, and it's going to get like topper and topper and topper. And then that, I feel like when that's when brands will be like, oh, well, we should give them money so that they can invest in that, or we should get them product because these edits are taking off. Mm. So like, I'm not saying you have to be Phantom, but it's like there doesn't have to be one media company. Like there could be multiple. And we have to remember that. Like if you don't like, we'll say you don't like it. Someone said it earlier in this podcast. You don't like it, you just do your own thing. Just don't subscribe. Unsubscribe. I don't know. It's hard for me because I know all of them so well. And I'm just like, it's like gut wrenching for me. And like, people were so mad at me. And I got so many blocks because I was like, well, these are my friends and I'm going to support them. And like,
oh my God.
Can have your feelings. And so there's going to be things I don't like either, but I'm not going to curse them out over it.
It's like kind of unnecessary. I agree that, you know, people don't always do things perfectly, but the scale at which people come at them for that is a little bit extreme. Like we talk about this quite a lot on the podcast, but like, if you're out there and you're ever tempted to send someone a death threat on Instagram because of an article they wrote in a magazine, don't do it. It's not the right thing. It's not the right thing to do.
Well, I'm a firm believer as an American that the only person that deserves a death threat is Donald Trump. So if it's not Donald Trump, don't do it.
On the topic of being in the internet and the toxicity of it, you're such a big public figure in the internet. How do you manage to balance your internet life and your well-being? How do you do that? Because it can be really hard.
One thing for me is like, it's easy because I am probably one of those influencers that doesn't like separate my personal and then like influencer life. Like for me, I'm not the influencer that's like making a bunch of money and making a lot of deals. And like, even in the last year, like I don't think I've done anything. Like I was like doing my taxes, like doing my tax paperwork. And I was like, oh, I didn't really have any gigs like last year. And I'm like, oh, life's just kind of leveling out, which is nice. But I'm just someone that has a lot of followers because I've always spoke my mind and put a lot out there, because like at the end of the day, like my Instagram was because I started because I wanted to show someone you didn't see every day doing something that they were told they couldn't do. And so like, I'm a fat person, I'm playing on skates and I'm like wearing whatever I want and I'm having a good time. I'm not the best skater. I'm not the worst skater. I'm just having fun. And I have lots of opinions and I speak them out loud. And if someone wants to work with me or doesn't, that's what it is. When I get blowback on things like that, a lot of the times, like, I don't care, because if you're not someone that I know genuinely cares about me and really wants to know, like, stay mad. I'll always start with a conversation. If someone messages me and they're like, I don't agree with what you're saying because ABC, and I'll be like, okay, well, why do you feel that way? And then I'll either say like, thank you, because you've shown me a different point of view, or I'll be like, okay, let's agree to disagree and move on. And the only few times when it gets really bad, like if I'm like online bullied too strong, like when, like years ago when Nike did like the mini doc, it was me, Rebel, Michelle, aka Estro, my friend Jess, and Kiana Ioana. We did like a mini doc and we thought, this is gonna be so cool. It's so huge. It's Nike. And like, we're not even wearing Nike shoes. Like, we're in skates. It's gonna be so badass. There's a whole camera crew. It was so cool. And the day they were like, it's gonna get launched, I woke up and there was thousands just like fat shaming, like saying I should die because I'm fat. Like, just all this stuff. Like, dark. And I immediately just got like triggered and like just, I had to like get off my phone. I was like crying for like 2 days straight and I was like, I can't do this. And like, one of the things that brought me back was like letting the skate community know, like, hey, please put some love on this because this sucks. And it kind of like, but then people, their skaters were getting fat shamed and attacked by all the trolls. And I was just like, all I can do is like remove myself from the situation, go into like just take the app off my phone and disappear. So it happened that time. And then when Del had like the call outs happen to her and Moxie, it got really dark and I was like, oh, no more Instagram. I got to get off, because it was like, you can only sit there and like fight for yourself so long. And then you're like, why do I care? Like, these people don't really care about me. They're just in it for the drama. They're just troll. A lot of them are trolls. You just got to step away. And if you want to be someone that's outspoken, internet, you have to know that you're going to get blowback, and that's part of it. And like, not everyone has that strength to do it. And so that's when I feel like, don't put your personal opinions online then, because like, people were private profile. For me, I like to start conversations. So like, I'll just put it out there. And like, if someone's like harassing me, I just block them so fast, which I used to have a fear of doing. I used to think, oh, if I block someone, what if I run into them at a rollout and to be so awkward, or like at the skate park? Or, and now I'm just like, I see it as like, no, it's not awkward. It's more like you're telling yourself, this person no longer has access to me and my life. Like, they don't have access to me. Because I've had people tell me, why'd you block me? And I'm like, don't ask me why I blocked you. Ask yourself why you want to watch me when you obviously have a problem with me. And then I've had people literally look dumbfounded. And I'm like, why do you care? Like, if someone blocked me, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, I crossed the person's boundary. That's it. I'm leaving them alone. And there's people I've blocked that I'll still talk to if I see them. I just don't want them to have access to me.
That's really healthy, I think. And I think, like, having the ability to step away when you need to is really good. I'm not sure everyone knows how to do that. But I just want to, like, you said when people send you a message, like, you'll engage and, you know, listen to their point of view and then reply. Like, isn't that just a huge amount of labor? You must get a lot of messages.
I do, but I feel like sometimes I literally leave them and then I have a moment. And I'll go on Instagram on my laptop because it's way easier to just reply real fast. And I'll try to knock out as much as possible. It gets overwhelming sometimes. So that's why I just take my time. I have the space to do it now. So it might be a week later. That, I remember one time it was like a month later, I replied to someone's message. And I was like, and they were surprised. Like, oh, I didn't think you would reply back. And I'm like, yeah, it just takes me time. Like, I'm here though. I try. I'm like a normal person, but I do definitely make sure, like, I know, like, if I respond when I want to, I only post when I want to. Now, I definitely got burned out when I was trying to like create content all the time and post cute things. Now I just do it when like I'm inspired and it feels fun. I don't worry about, I haven't posted for a week, I better do something right now. Like, yeah.
So I guess that, like, kind of taking that relationship to your Instagram and doing things on your own time has probably opened up more space in your life for other things. So, like, what's been happening for you outside of skating?
Oh my gosh. So in end of October, me and all because I got one tattoo from one of my closest friends. I got a tattoo. We're sitting in her new house. She had just got married, got a new house. Rebel came along and she started asking her questions about her house. Like, I don't get it. You're a barista and like Jared's a graphic designer. How'd you afford a house? Like, I thought no one could get a house in California at our age group because it's so expensive. And she was like telling her and she's like, well, I got a good realtor. And I was like, why are we talking about this? And Rebel's like, I'm just asking questions. Fast forward, it's like 3 weeks later, she's having coffee with her realtor.
Oh.
And then I'm like, we're not getting a house anytime soon. We don't have enough money. But we kept our whole relationship. We've been just like putting money away into a shared saving account. Like anytime we have like a random gig, like off of roller skating or something, we're like, okay, let's throw a percentage into this account that we never touch. And I'm not afraid to talk about money. I know some people think it's weird, but we're like, okay, 50K. Is our mark. If we do 50K, we might have enough. Maybe. And it was a slim chance. And she talks to the guy. She's like, I think we have enough money. And I was like, really? Like, I don't even have anything in my savings right now. Like, I'm pretty broke. There's no, that doesn't make sense. My personal regular savings, I might have $100. Like, we don't have that much money. And she's like, I don't know. He's saying it's possible. And next thing you know, literally what, like 3 months later, we were like, oh, we're putting in an offer in a house. Like, we can get a house.
Wow, that's cool.
It's happening. And then, yeah, and while in escrow, or, well, of course, we were like, we're going to have to get two roommates to be able to afford this house. But and while in escrow is when I got laid off from Moxie. And I was like, should we still do this? If we sign this paperwork, like, I'm not going to have a job. We're signing for a house. We don't even really know who's going to live with us next. Like, we went full to Lulu. Like, we were just like, we're both mentally ill. It's like linked up in our, we were just like delusional enough to be like, everything will work out. It's fine. We're going to buy this house. You're losing your job. We need two roommates. We don't have two roommates, but it's all fine. It'll work out. And it did. Literally, the day. Like, we found our last roommate, like, literally, like, a week before. And then I found a job just in time for, like, the last of my savings from, like, leaving Moxie, like, ran out. And I was like, oh, everything did work out.
Wow.
You know what, though? I think it tends to. I don't know. I just feel like if you had have gone the other way and you had have been like, look, we're not going to get the house because I lost my job. And, like, you know, you would have had a lot of bad feelings about not doing that. But then you stayed the path and things tend to just work out. They do. If you're doing the right thing, they tend to work out.
I'm so happy too, because it was like the day that, like, that morning where I was like, hey, I think, like, I'm really going to lose my job. Like, maybe we should just not look at houses anymore. And Rebel was like, well, we have four to look out today. Let's just go. And, like, it was the house that I'm now standing in that we ended up buying. And I was like,
hey,
so crazy that it worked out. But we have a housewarming party tomorrow. So I'm super excited. We've been painting, wallpapering. I learned how to put, like, tiles down and doing all kinds of stuff. And even that, when I was, like, laid off, I was like, it was perfect because there was a month where I wasn't doing any work. And so I really got to just, like, nest and get the house ready to move in. So everything does happen for a reason.
What a big year for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yep. New house. And then we're going to get married this year and then in a great debt again.
What's life for if it's not for being in a huge amount of debt?
You can't take money to the grave with you, so.
Exactly. I feel like we've covered so much. Is there anything else for you in this year? You're getting married. You just bought a house. What's next?
We're going to have the fifth annual Sends Out Buns Out rollout, aka SOBO. Last year we had about almost 2,000 skaters show up. So we never know every year. I'm like, no one's going to show up. And people keep showing up, which is awesome. So this year it'll be in Long Beach, California.
People are going to show up.
Long Beach, California, June 8th. And, you know, as always, we have our swimsuits or a costume on. And all wheels are welcome. I've literally had people show up in a wheelchair for the beginning part before. And it's all about everyone showing up wearing something that they usually wanted because of a fear that they have. And just showing that there's safety in numbers and a safe place for mostly a lot of queer people show up and trans people. And I get a lot of older people that say they've gone their whole life without wearing a swimsuit in public. And that it's their first time. And that's the real meaning of SOBO. So I'm really excited, and I was smart this year, and I got my swimsuit already, so I won't be standing in the store like last year.
The pictures of that event, they always look so awesome, the pictures and the videos and stuff.
So the info will be at cheerstothequeers.com. That's mine and Rebel's retail store. We have some roller skate accessories and just all kinds of cool regular accessories on there as well. So all the information will be on there. And yeah, we're really excited about it. And what else can I say about it?
You have a new Insta handle too. Maybe you want to remind people.
Oh, yeah. So if you follow me on Instagram, actually, you can also find out on Suns Out Buns Out Rollout on Instagram. We started it last year because people needed all the info, but also me personally at Fat Girl Has It. It used to be Fat Girl Has Moxie. And I realized the huge problem was that I've been Fat Girl Has Moxie like my whole skate career. But then some people started thinking like, it was Moxie that made me turn it. And I was like, oh, this is like, I'm just going to detach. It's time. I don't want to be attached to any brand anymore. And it was always a play on world because it was like, That Girl Has Moxie was a saying. So it was Fat Girl Has Moxie. And I was just like, That Girl Has It. And what is it? It's everything.
New chapter, new handle. Why not? That's cool. We always have at the end of our episodes a question from our previous guest, and it was Crooks last time. I don't know if you've ever met Crooks in person, but Crooks has a very cool and quirky sense of humor. And Crooks wants to know from you, in your opinion, what's the best dinosaur species and why?
Well, this is the funniest question we've done so far. It's got to be.
Well, like, does it? Because I'm wondering, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if it counts, but like, I want to say that it would be something like a crocodile or alligator because they actually survived from being dinosaur, like from back then. Like, they were strong enough to keep going and make it into the modern
they
world.
They are dinosaurs, aren't they? They gotta be.
Yep. Birds. Yeah. Birds. A lot of Komodo dragons. Like, there's a lot of and birds that are like originally from dinosaur times. Looking at chickens.
So the survivors.
The survivors. I'm a survivor. I support the survivors.
Yeah, I think that's a very good answer. But I actually also like, because it's not the last question, we also do a lightning round of questions. So, Sugar, do you want to do the lightning round?
So I'm going to ask you 10 questions and you just got to answer. Yeah.
So nervous about this part.
10 little questions and yeah, go for it. Dream holiday destination.
Tahiti.
Oh, nice. Dance, skating or ramps?
Ramps.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Best song to skate to? That's a hard question.
oh my God. No, I have one. I'm trying. Cutie Pie.
If you could only live one season over and over, which would it be? Summer, winter, autumn, spring?
Fall.
Yeah.
Autumn.
Favorite place to skate?
Ooh. Don't be mad, people. Long Beach, California. Oh. I know I live in Long Beach, but Long Beach.
That is such a Long Beach thing to say.
And we have it all. Although I really did love the largest skate park in Amsterdam. Like, that's probably my favorite skate park.
Your best skating memory?
My first rollout powered by Thunder Thighs.
Nice. Awesome. Can you sum up your relationship to skating in three words?
Joyful, complicated, and love.
Nice. All right, two more questions. The last movie you watched?
But I'm a Cheerleader. If you haven't watched it, if you're queer, please watch it.
I actually haven't watched it, so I'll add it to the list. And last, something you're really looking forward to? I think I might know the answer to this one.
I'm really, 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 really looking forward to getting married.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you don't set your wedding, you're going to be in so much trouble. Well, the rest of the world is also looking forward to it. Yeah. Everyone wants to see that wedding. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, you know us. It'll be on YouTube.
You should stream it.
That's what a lot of people think.
Are you gonna
stream it, please? I'm all like, well, we barely have a budget. We still don't even know how we're gonna pay for the food we're getting. So if we can find a work for a person, it'll happen.
Maybe like you can do like a pay-per-view type deal where people have to like pay for the stream and then it covers it or something like that.
Well, Rebel was thinking about screen printing t-shirts. Screen print out of our garage, and she was like, what if we screen print shirts and bags that say I support gay marriage, and it's like we use those proceeds to pay for the wedding. And I was like, oh, there might be something there.
I'll buy one. Everyone out there, buy one. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Shab. It's been so good. It's so nice to, like you were saying at the beginning, to just like make people who we see on the internet, real people. So yeah, thank you for being so open. It was so nice.
Real. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And everyone that's listening, just remember that you are an amazing person and everyone also is an amazing person. And we all just have different views of the world and we're all doing the best we can. So remember to give yourself and other people grace and you're all amazing and you don't have to love somebody, but sometimes you gotta like them. And it's going to be okay because a lot of the times, not that deep. But thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for chatting with us. That was beautiful, that last thing you said too. And hopefully our paths will cross sometime.
Yeah, hope so. Yeah, we'll see you in Australia for your honeymoon. Just saying.
It's been on my list of places to go. So I keep going to all these other countries, and I'm like, well, when are we going to make it? When are we going to make it there?
I know.
I was like, I'm so close.
Yeah, I know. It's far, though, so don't worry. But one day, I know it's going to happen. But then, congratulations on all the amazing things happening in your life. And yeah, hopefully we'll chat to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Drop In Podcast is a Chuff Skates production hosted by Sugu Valbuena Sanchez and me, Samantha Trahan. This podcast is recorded and edited on Aboriginal land. Always was, always will be. The opening track features samples from Dr. Timothy Leary's 1967 song, Turn On, Tune In, Drop Out, and a 1966 interview between Merv Griffin and Dr. Leary.
Thank you to our guests for dropping in to talk about all things roller skating, and to you for listening.
If you'd like to be notified of new episodes, follow at Chuff Skates on Instagram and subscribe to Drop In Podcast on Spotify.
I've been having crazy dreams. Do you get a crazy? Oh, I was just going on about the changes of the seasons. They give me crazy dreams.